Hey, you guys, welcome to the Horse Trader's Diary. My name is Tara Sanders, and this is my podcast. So, for those of you who are new here, welcome to season 2, episode 1. First off, I know that a lot of you guys joined me last season. I was super excited. I had almost 1,100 people. It said like average download or average listenership per episode was 1,100. So that's super exciting. With that being said, I went a pretty good season of not podcasting not because I didn't have things to talk about. Lord knows there's eventful things that happen in my life every day, but I think that I just was in a season of my life where I took a minute for myself. Most of you guys know I took a 30-day break from social media, and when I came back to social media about 2 weeks ago, I was not glad to be back. I don't know what that says about me, but I was not glad to be back. I am tired of political posts. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of arguing. And it's not even me. Like, when I came back to social media, I didn't hardly post anything except for horses for sale. And I was just so exhausted reading the back and forth between people that I love. And so I have people in my life that are Biden supporters. I have people in my life that are Trump supporters. I'm very much so a Republican. But if you're a Democrat, I also understand your points. I also understand, you know, I don't even want to make this about politics. I don't even care what party you are or what party I am. At the end of the day, we're all Americans. We all are going to have to cohabitate. And no matter who is our president, we all deserve respect. All of us. I understand that me, especially with my occupation, you know, I buy and sell horses. We buy a lot of horses and cattle for slaughter. And there are people that just absolutely hate me because of that. I have been called atrocious names. I have been attacked not only in social media. I have had animal activists spit on me. I had one animal activist slap me at a cell. And I'm gonna say, I forgive them. I think that there's a lot of mental illness in today's world. I think there's a lot of people that, you know, the conservative party calls snowflakes, and, you know, but at the end of the day, we're still humans. And I know that those people are just trying to do the very best that they can. I understand that they love animals and that they want desperately to change the course of those animals' lives. And if there wasn't slaughter, in their mind, they're saving these animals and doing them some justice. But the truth is, we don't live in a perfect world. And because we don't live in a perfect world, when there's no slaughter for horses, you know, unfortunately, there becomes a lot of abandonment issues. A lot of, in 2006, 2007, when slaughter was closed here in the U.S. and the price of horses plummeted, people were dumping horses on the outside of cities and out in the country. It's where a lot of the Fort Polk horse issue came. Some of those horses, I guess they call the Kasachi wild horses, but at the end of the day, the whole herd is really just a product or a byproduct, however you want to look at it, of people dumping horses. In Louisiana, back in the 70s and 80s, they had a law where people could graze their cattle and horses in the Kasachi forest through the winter. Well, in the spring, when it came time to round everything up, cattle were a little easier to manipulate than horses. They're just a little bit harder to herd and manipulate, especially in a forest setting. So each year, some of the people who bred horses couldn't get all of their horses, or they had, you know, a mare that would wander off into somebody else's herd, things like that. And people, when they were pinning theirs, would have a horse that didn't belong to them and they would leave it. And so in the 90s, when they stopped the free graze law here in Louisiana and you could not you could not free graze your livestock anymore in the forest, in the Kisatchie National Park or whatever. Lots and lots and lots of domestic horses were left. And over the years, people know around here that if you have a horse that is not sound, or it's not broke, or it's not this, or it's not that, or whatever, you can't afford to feed it, people still are dumping them. People know. It's like a thing where people will say, yeah, I saw a gelding, or, oh, I saw a horse with a halter on. I mean, just dumb stuff. Like, within the herds of wild horses, there are ones that are not born in the wild, but horses that have been dumped even today. Like, in 2020, and I know, because, again, horrible, horrible hate came from the fact that when Fort Polk needed to round up the wild horses because they were causing a lot of damage, soldiers were getting hurt, there was just a lot going on to where these horses, I guess, were now considered like intruders on private property because they had gotten on the army base. And they do a lot of role play out there, like live war role play. And what's happening is soldiers are actually having to like jump out of planes and practice their parachuting. And I've never been in the army, so I hate to like use the wrong terminology, but I don't know what else you say other than they're jumping out of planes. And in the process, like one guy got like his parachute tangled up in a horse, a wild horse. And another instance that they were having is they were having to like stay for 2 days out, and they had to dig manholes, and the horses ran across the top of the manholes and the manholes fell in. So it just had become to where these horses are on the army base and they're creating situations to where they're very dangerous within role play for our army. And then fast forward to the horses that are getting out on the highways and getting hit by cars, and that is also not only so dangerous for humans, it's super dangerous for the horses. And these horses don't have owners, so when somebody gets hit, there's nobody responsible. It's like hitting a deer, nobody's responsible. And fast forward, if the horses get hit but don't die and they run off, you know, now there's a hurt horse out abroad, and it's just a horrible situation with a broke leg or just really injured or cut up. So it's just not good. None of it's good. I don't have to keep explaining, because all of you guys are such rational, just very intelligent humans. You totally get it. I know you do. But there are activists who don't get it. They don't get it, and they don't understand how come the wild horses can't be left alone. So we, living local and having a lot of horse experience, were asked to help round up the wild horses, not because they were going to slaughter. In fact, they actually let rescues come and pick them up once they were pinned. You know, rescues were able to come get them, but they just needed people with just a lot of horse sense. So Jacob, at one time, not now, but in past years, his family were hired basically to round up the quote unquote wild horses. And lots of those horses were born into the wild, and their moms or their sires, however, were not. They were microchipped, or they had saddle sores. And occasionally when they would pin horses, the easiest ones to pin would be geldings. And no gelding is natural, meaning that those were horses people had dumped out there. So the Fort Polk horses, at first it was said that they were the descendants of the cavalry horses. And the reason animal activists said that was so that people would jump on the bandwagon and be like, these are horses that fought for our country, they're descendants of veteran horses. But then the army said, no, they're not. When we got rid of the cavalry here at Fort Polk, all of the horses were not retired on base and turned out. Those horses were shipped to bases that still needed them, and the cavalry didn't use stallions. So regardless of if there was a mare or not, there was no stallion for her to be bred to. So the mares and geldings that were part of the cavalry were all shipped to other army bases. So the army quickly put a stop to people spreading the rumor that these were descendants of cavalry horses and that the U.S. had turned its back on veterans of war's family, because animal activists have a way of making animals be human-like. So that was the thing, is that these were descendants of war veterans and we were turning our back on the families of war veterans, even though they were horses and they were not by anybody's standards. They're mostly ponies. People have inbred, stunted backyard shit that they can't do anything with, and so they just go turn it out in the Kasachee Forest, and then it breeds, and then you have a bunch of little half-breed ponies running around, and that's the God honest truth. I was so excited the first time that I got invited to go out. They had pinned a set of 30 horses, and I got invited to go out, and when I got there, I was, you know, we drove through the base, and there's, like, the towns that are, like, mock towns, and when we finally got to the horses, I was just so disappointed. I thought I was going to get to see, like, BLM Mustangs. You know, these beautiful, like, long-haired, gorgeous, beefy, just stunning wild horses. And I get there and they're, like, emaciated ponies. Like, it was very clear that they were not healthy in the setting that they were in. That obviously the land here is not meant for wild horses because they were not sustaining. This was like coming off of winter. So, of course, wild horses always look worse coming off of winter. But I'm just telling you that they looked bad, and they were tiny. They were like maybe 14 hands was the biggest one. And at that point, I thought, God, this is terrible. Like, this is, first of all, horrible quality of life for these horses to be so poor. And their feet were just, like, long and, like, because they were not wild genetics, their hooves had no heel and were grown out almost like elves' feet on a lot of them. And, you know, natural wild horses, they have a different set of genetics. So evolution has made it to where their feet break off a lot better. And you don't see a lot of, like, foundry type issues in wild horses because their feet break. Well, here with it being mostly wooded and, you know, they stay up in the trees, these horses' feet were just in horrible, horrible shape. Like, I couldn't believe it. And also, again, because they were domestic horses that have bred and horrible genetic horses to begin with, a lot of them had, like, DSLD, which is, like, degenerative. Like, in the back, a lot of them had, like, drop-type fetlocks where somebody had clearly turned something out there, a stud, that had this, because there were lots of little babies that had, like, horrible, horrible dropped fetlocks. And I just thought to myself, this is not what we're supposed to be saving when we're trying to save the wild horses. It's not that I'm against leaving some of nature, leaving some horses wild. I think that generations in the future deserve to get to see wild horses. I do think that the earth and society is changing to where there's less and less room in our society for wild horses. But this is not it. Like, this is not, in my opinion, this is not what we should be fighting for, horses that are genetically bad. You know, these are horses that came from people's backyards over the last 20 or 30 years that they dumped out because they weren't sound, because they had issues, because they had no monetary value. They were not breakable. So we're dumping out crippled, bad conformation, basically, quote unquote, quote, worthless, end quote, type horses. And I know people are going to say, well, a life is a life. And, you know, I hear all of the animal activists, I hear what they're saying, but you also have to remember that there are things worse than death. Like, all of us are born and all of us are going to die. And long-term suffering is much worse than death. I fully believe in reincarnation. So please know I'm a little bit of woo-woo. And if you're super Christian and you believe that your soul goes to heaven, again, I'm totally okay with that. We're all going to believe what we want. I think that life is just completely your journey. So do not take anything I say and take it personal, or that if we have different opinions, we can't still get along. And if you're super animal activist-ish and you think that wild horses should be left wild, I think that focusing on BLM type horses and horses that are genetically meant to be wild is a great idea. I do not think that these horses are meant to be wild. I think that they are domestic horses with lots of genetic issues that have been dumped due to issues that their owners didn't want to deal with. And in the end, now we have genetically screwed up horses breeding with genetically screwed up horses, and they are reproducing little screwed up genetic mutated fetlock dropped feet that aren't breaking off, tiny and malnutritioned, because the environment here does not sustain wild horses. It's not meant for that. Louisiana is not horse country. There's lots of horses here, but I'm just telling you, it's not horse country. I've lived in Oklahoma, I've lived in Texas, I've even grew up in New Mexico, and this ain't it. Like, Louisiana is, Bahia grass causes heaves. So the natural grass that grows here causes COPD in horses. Bahia grass is one of the leading causes of heaves, meaning that these horses' number one source of nutrition is going to be Bahia grass in this area, and Bahia grass causes COPD in horses. So not always, but it can. And so just think about it. These wild horses' main source of nutrition is Bahia grass. Look it up. And Bahia grass is not good for horses. So please understand that it's like just a shit show. I mean, wild horses in this area is a shit show. So we received tons of hate from all kinds of activists who were so upset that Jacob was helping round up these quote unquote wild horses that are descendants of the Fort Polk Cavalry horses, which none of this is true. And we start going out and rounding up these little tiny itty bitty genetically fucked up horses that are just the product of people dumping the biggest shit that they don't have any use for out, and it's breeding, and each year it's shit is breeding shit, and it's just bigger shit. And now we have 14 hand tall, maybe actually like 13 two hand tall mutt horses, and people are losing their fucking minds on me on social media and on Jacob on social media because we're helping to round these horses up, and it's ending the wild horses of Kisatchie, which at one point realized there were almost 2,000 of them. And so there were no like birth control type things being used, and there were more stallions. There was 52% stallions. So you have to understand that it was it's atrocious, because when we started catching them, a lot of what they were catching were studs and some geldings that weren't in herd situations. Like, they were actually starving, they were alone. And so at one time they caught 12 studs in one group, and these studs were not only emaciated, they were actually beat so poorly, because horses have a herd mentality. So they're wanting to go into the herd, but the main dominant stud is beating them back, and they're constantly still trying to get back into the herd. It was awful. And I'm going to tell you right now that you can talk about like, oh, slaughter is so bad, and, you know, I hear it all the time. Like, oh, we should save the horses, save the horses. That's not saving horses. You would just absolutely be heartbroken at what was happening at the hands of just the wild. You know, people talk about how the horses deserve better. People talk about how the horses don't deserve slaughter, how the horses deserve to be respected and taken care of. But yet people are fighting for these horses to remain in the wild. And it's the population is dominantly stallions over mares, meaning these studs are fighting each other. We saw horses that had had broken legs where the leg had like healed over the last however long, but it had healed in a way to where the horse really was on three legs and the horse was like emaciated. We saw horses that were missing eyes, horses that had had their jaws bitten off, like the whole meat part of their jaw bitten off, and it was like gaping wounds with maggots. I saw things that had that been at someone's house, it would fully be considered suffering. It would be considered animal abuse, animal neglect. It would be considered awful. But because it's in the wild, they're fighting to leave them out there. Sorry, I'm at the pins and I'm starting to catch horses and I'm like spitting and like breathing heavy and I'm sure you're like, what the fuck? But I want for you guys to know that we live in a society to where every positive has a negative, every negative has a positive. I mean, by leaving the horses in the wild, future generations will get to drive out. Like when I first moved here to Louisiana, Jacob put me in the truck and we drove out and looked for the wild horses and it was so exciting and we never found any. It was in the spring, and so the grass was good, and they were off the roads way out enjoying the grass, and we never really even located any. So, but it was so fun. Like, I just remember that being such a fun date that we got in the truck, and we, like, drove all over to look for the wild horses so that he could show me the wild horses. And then when, like I said, fast forward to the first time I really actually got to see them was once they had kind of started to pin them, it was not a beautiful sight. It was not something that I was just, I'm sure if you're driving down the road and you see them in the distance, it's like very like magical. But when you get up close and you start to realize like all of the issues, it's no longer a magical experience. In fact, it's atrocious. And I actually think that the best thing we can do is to get the horses off of Fort Polk and to get the Kisatchie horses caught. Not because I think that wild horses shouldn't remain wild. I think that genetically domesticated horses that evolution has changed their genetic makeup to where they're more of a domestic animal than a wild animal are not meant to be in the wild, especially in an environment where Bahia grass is their main source of nutrition and it rains here all the time, which also means that the nutrition in the ground, a lot of the minerals and salt are washed away. So the ground here is not nutrient dense. Is that the right word? It's not like there's not a lot of nutrition and vitamins and amino acids in the ground like you find in other places, like northern Louisiana, even closer to like Colfax and Boyce, the ground is better. But in this area, it's pretty swampy. It's a lot of crabgrass. It's a lot of bahia grass mostly. So it's a very weird mix of non-nutritious environmental substances. So I don't know. It's just, you know, I don't even remember how I got off on the Kisatchie horses. This is why I have a podcast, so that we can just fall down these rabbit holes. But anyway, my whole point to this was that I think was that with every positive, there's a negative. With every negative, there's a positive. And I just wanted to step away from social media. Because just much like the people that think that I'm such a monster because we have a feedlot and a kill pen are the same people that are screaming to save the Kisatchie wild horses when the Kisatchie wild horses are starving and they're in a horrible situation. And I know that you get attached to, a lot of people would say, but I love them. I see them every spring and, you know, my back pasture. And, you know, when I was a kid, my granddad used to saddle up our horses and we would ride back there and see them. And but over time, those bad genetics and the environmental changes have just made it to where they're getting hit by cars and the nutrition in the ground here is not what wild, quote unquote, wild horses need. So, and just like with slaughter, if we didn't have slaughter in Mexico, because we've closed it in the US in 2006 and 2007, horses don't have an avenue, you know? Not everybody can afford euthanasia. And people will say, well, we need to limit breeding. We need to have license for breeding and regulate breeding. And it doesn't matter if we did. At the end of the day, there are still going to be horses that genetically something happens. I mean, we haven't been able to control human genetics. And what I mean by that is we have not been able to find a cure for things that make humans genetically inferior. Or I don't even want to say that because all humans are equal. Let me insert my foot in my mouth. I definitely don't want to offend anybody. I just mean, if we're going to limit the breeding of horses, no matter how we limit it, it's not going to stop some horses from still having genetic conditions that make them need to just be put to sleep or just be slaughtered. And people say, well, then if we limit it, people would, you know what, at the end of the day, if the slaughter plants were opened here in the U.S., horses could just go here in the U.S. and it could be better managed. And that would be the best thing for it because horses would still have a bottom base value. And that should be important. It should be important that horses don't become so cheap and free to the point that anyone who can obtain them, who can't afford them. And that's what happens. Horses at one point were so inexpensive that rescues were going to the auctions and just buying 40 to 50 horses at a time and then having to beg all over social media for the money to upkeep them, because just because you can buy a $50 horse or a $100 horse doesn't mean that that $50 or $100 is going to maintain that horse. And there are rescues all over the U.S. and they cannot adopt them fast enough, and they are begging for people to help fund their rescues. And if you go, the horses are in terrible shape. I think if you run a rescue and your horses don't look like show horses, then you're kind of part of the problem. And there are so many people that hate me for that opinion. There are so most 99.9% of people that run rescues hate me for my opinion because they're never going to do it to that standard and they don't want to do it to that standard. And then I want to ask them, how are you providing that horse with the optimal quality of life when your horse looks no better than somebody's pasture kept dink that needs to be wormed? Well, if we have the funds, okay, then why are you continuing? That's my thing. Why are you continuing to go to auctions and to quote unquote rescue them, aka buy them, if you don't have the funds to take care of them to the standard in which you expect the general public to take care of their horses? Because I hear that all the time. Like, my horses look amazing. They feel amazing. They're taken very well care of. Probably because my dad trains racehorses, so my standards of care are a little higher than most people's. But if people expect that quality of care from the general public, why are rescues not held to that same standard? How many rescues have we watched in the last 2 or 3 years that have been, like the owner of them has like been arrested for animal cruelty? And in the end of the day, it was like a hoarding. It just point blank came down to a hoarding situation. I mean, I think that good people with good intentions ended up in bad situations because they didn't know when to say no, or this is enough, or I can't save anymore. I don't think they maliciously set out to do that to horses and to get arrested. I think that they never set out and that was never their intentions originally. But what happened is they didn't know when to say no. They didn't know how to turn away another horse, especially when they don't have the funds to already care for the ones in their care. So, social media for me is hard because my opinions often differ from people that want to get on social media and speak the loudest. Because I think most of you who share similar opinions to me, you don't want to fight with people. So you don't voice your opinions. So the opinions we see voiced are, leave all the horses wild. The opinions that we see are also, no slaughter. The opinions that we see are of rescues, and just at the end of the day, just not the opinion that I share. So I took a break from social media And when I got back on social media, I was not happy to be there. In fact, I was beyond not happy to be back. I am sad that I even am back. That sounds so bad, but I love so many of you and I miss you. I miss my tribe. I miss homing horses. I love that, but I don't miss, I don't miss people that have different opinions than I do, constantly shoving their opinions down my throat and then telling me that I should go kill myself and that I'm a horrible person and that I deserve to die because social media and animal activists are a completely different breed of, it's awful. And I think you all know what I'm talking about and you've seen it. And I just think it's awful. Like, I don't agree with you, but I still think you deserve respect. But the thing is, people that don't agree with me somehow don't think I deserve respect. And then I see people that rodeo. There are people that rodeo and barrel race and date calf ropers or bull riders, and they don't like me. And sometimes that's a little bit of jealousy. A lot of people don't make a living with horses and don't make seven figures and get to retire in their 30s with horses, and I have, and I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. But with that being said, come on, buddy. With that being said, I see them sometimes jump on the anti-Tara Sanders bandwagon for different reasons. But at the end of the day, I want to tell them, the same people that talk so bad about me and persecute me without knowing much about what I actually do are the same people that, given the opportunity, want to end calf roping. They want to end bull riding. They want to change rodeo and horse shows as we know them. And it's a very fine line. It's a very tricky fine line. Oh, I can't get my trailer door open. Well, I'm going to groom this stud. We had a stud come in, a registered cutting horse that I don't really know what we're doing with him, but I'm going to groom him and take before photos because he sure looks bad. So here's to my next project, and I will talk to you guys soon. Bye.